This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we had a fascinating episode last week on the Paracast. The one and only, the irrepressible Don Ecker was here. In fact, our co-host this week, Mark Jackson, had some interactions with Don in our forums. And what was that about?
Well, as Don went through his reasoning for what I'm just sort of, I'd roughly describe to him, and based on what he had told our audience, is a sort of cyclical civilization that we have. And he was sort of laying out a unified theory of how you could fold in, you know, UAPs with potentially remnant civilizations, etc., from post-cataclysms and the cyclical nature of cataclysms. So what I tried to help Don do was realize the first part is that I wanted to establish, yes, this, what he was describing in terms of this cyclical demise of all species on Earth, for that matter, not just humans, is a valid thing, at least scientifically. We know this through geologic and astrological, you know, data, records, and the like. He went out on a branch in terms of speculation, and I kind of led him over to the Adam and Eve story and in the forum, et cetera, and the audience can go there and kind of follow and see the way that unfolded a little bit. You know, in general, he basically laid out, albeit a little bit in the peripheral or out of focus, sort of a unified theory on all of this cyclical civilization stuff, for example, that you might get out of Graham Hancock and some of those guys. And he was tying in the UAP thing. So it was really kind of a Herculean effort on Don's part to tie this all together, which was pretty awesome. So I encourage the audience to go back and listen to Don make this case, then go to the forum. And I just added some evidence, more specifically, some case studies on Uparts, which he brought up in support of the cyclical, you know, humanoid civilization thing. So, yeah, there's some science in there, and there's just good stuff. So you guys go in there. If you listen to Don's show, it's really interesting to see the exchange between the two of us. It's good stuff, though.
You can find us if you go to theparacast.com/forum or forum.theparacast.com. Very easy to sign up. And by the way, once you sign up to our forums, you can then also join the Paracast Plus, okay? Because it's just basically, it's an expansion or an upgrade to your forum membership to the Paracast Plus. Isn't that simple? Let me ask you a question, Jan Harzan from MUFON. Do you guys ever get into ancient cataclysms, ancient astronauts, stuff like that?
We do sometimes get things reported to us, but for the vast majority of what we do is just taking sighting reports from the public and investigating them. So we get 500 to 1,000 reports a month, and it's full-time just trying to chase those down.
Are we expecting a rise in those numbers, Jan, based on the flurry of articles that have been distributed to the worldwide audience at this point? I mean, how do you guys do you guys see big upticks after these sort of announcements, et cetera?
We don't see big upticks. We might see a 10 or 15% increase. And typically what comes out is that people who've watched a show or seen a news program might decide to report an old sighting. So the typical sightings that happen today and get reported tomorrow are about 5 to 6,000 a year. And then we have another 1 to 2,000 that get reported that are what we call they're delayed. I mean, they're basically past history, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 40 years ago. So people finally found out there's a place they can report their sighting, and they come to MUFON and give it to us for informational purposes.
Jan, in terms of a reference or some sort of starting point for the audience, 5 to 6,000 cases a year, now, do you guys normally see increases in activity during these sort of things? You said 10 to 15%, so, you know, that's like 500 cases or something. That's considerable. How do you guys take a certain amount of skepticism into the field with you, or is it just business as normal for that extra 10 or 15%?
Well, we always take a high degree of skepticism into the field. I mean, we start with the thought that we can explain what's been seen. It's only when we've exhausted all possibilities that we mark it as an unknown in our database. But there is a seasonality to UFOs. I mean, we see a high point in July, August, September. Yeah, so what we see here is kind of a sine wave. In other words, we notice that we have more sightings in the summertime, June, July, August, September timeframe, and fewer in the wintertime, November, December, January, and February. And it kind of runs like a sine wave. So if you look at like when a show goes on, like the new Unidentified or like the Project Blue Book, that tends to get people to go to their computers and report a UFO. And we'll find out that we get cases that might have happened in the 50s or 60s or 70s being reported to us. So in any given year, we get 5,000 or 6,000 from that year. That means the case happened today and gets reported tomorrow, kind of a thing. But we also see, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 cases that are delayed. We call delayed cases people who are reporting things after years of having seen it.
Now, some of us purists, as they say, will remark about the fact that some of these reality shows may compress facts. They're not 100% accurate. They're going more for the entertainment. And, of course, we have Project Blue Book, which was a sci-fi show. Does that hurt the ability of getting accurate information from people? Do they understand the distinction? This is not reality, but if you have something real, tell us.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it actually helps in a little bit in terms of getting the message out. If you just take boring cases and grind through them, you don't get the same viewership as you do if you dramatize it. And, of course, Project Blue Book was a dramatization of J. Allen Hynek and his work, his great work he did with Project Blue Book and the Air Force. And it was a well-received show. I think it's number two in its category across the board. So I expect they'll see a second season here if they haven't already been given that. So I think that helps us, actually, because it gets people to do it. Now, when people report, they report what they've seen. We get a couple hoaxes, but very few. It's 3 to 5% in that range. The vast majority of people just tell us the facts, what they saw, where they saw it, how they saw it, what it did, where they first observed it, where they last observed it. And that's all the data, that and about 200 other data points we collect on each report, which helps go into our database and becomes a research file for scientists and engineers and researchers to look into.
Would you say that the release of the Blue Book show so closely, then followed up by the Unidentified program, are you guys anticipating that folks are going to start blurring the lines between this reality show and this Blue Book show?
I don't believe so. I think the Blue Book show, there's a whole, you got to realize, 60, 70, maybe more percent of the people on this planet weren't alive back when Project Blue Book was in force. Many of them don't even know what a Project Blue Book is. So we're doing a little bit of catch-up education, in a sense, through the Project Blue Book television show. And I think that's good. It's getting people interested in the subject. Making them more aware that there's stuff going on even currently. I think that's where you transition over to Unidentified, which is talking about things happening today. So you've got something from 50 years ago that the military followed up on. Now you've got a program today, what the military is doing today or has been doing up till some point in time. And, of course, that's starting to get a little blurred because there's people out there trying to put this information into the field. But I think it's all positive. I think it's great that people are getting a chance to see this and learn about it, particularly the younger people who didn't grow up with UFOs as part of their part of their memory.
Now, a couple of things sort of disturbed me about the coverage of this Pentagon UFO study, and I'll get to that in our next segment because we only have a few seconds left. And I want to also give a special thank you, a shout to Jan Harzan. This is the second time he's done this. He came onto the show very, very short notice after our scheduled guest had to be postponed. And, of course, that's part of how these things work. Sometimes people's schedules change, things happen, but it worked out okay, and we're glad that Jan is here now. Mark Jackson is our co-host this week. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I'm Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Macy's to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Macy's team today at marchforbabies.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Mark Jackson, our guest co-host this week, Randall, is taking the night off. Jan Harzan of MUFON is here. And, of course, we're focusing on not just the new UFO shows, but about the new things reported about UFOs. Now, one thing I kind of noticed in the way the coverage was slanted towards this Pentagon UFO study, as if the government had never, ever looked into UFOs before. They seem to have forgotten, or maybe they don't do their research, that there was a Project Blue Book and all this other stuff that went down. What's your perception of that?
I think it's called 50 years. You know, it's, Project Blue Book happened 50 years ago, and the Air Force did its best to get out of the business back in 1969. You know, that's when MUFON was founded, actually about 6 months before they actually closed Project Blue Book. But I think it's just, we're now in modern times. We've got a whole generation, two generations, maybe three, they've grown up without UFOs in their vernacular. So we're kind of playing catch up, if you will. And I think it's going to take some time. I don't think this is going to be a slam dunk just because you've got guys from the Pentagon and the Congress and scientists out there saying this is real now. I don't know that the vast majority of the public is just going to jump on board. I think a good portion of the public will jump on board, but I think in any kind of a change like this, this is a major paradigm shift for this planet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a few laggards in there, people who just don't want to believe no matter what. You know, you're going to have to show them the dead alien body or the crash saucer before, and they're going to have to touch it before they actually believe any of this is real. But for the vast majority of the planet, I think it's going to be exciting stuff. I met with some people earlier today who are new to this subject, found out about it by watching the TV, the news, and then went on, Googled UFOs, found MUFON. So they came over to our offices and sat with us for an hour or two. I think that's good. We're bringing in a whole new cadre of younger folk who need to be brought up to speed on this subject and made part of it. And I think that's happening.
So, Jan, having, two things here, you guys. So the first one being that, you know, I like wearing UFO shirts and, you know, that sort of stuff because I like to invite conversation with the public on the subject. So there are many of us out there who wear our, you know, UFO, NASA shirts, whatever it is, and we get into these conversations at coffee or pub and the like. And I can tell you, just in my everyday this last week, I am personally getting bombarded everywhere where I wear that sort of shirt, et cetera. I've stopped wearing them this week because I'm so tired of talking about this thing, and I can't be the only one. And not that we're tired about talking it here tonight, you guys, but I'm just saying as a unit of measurement in terms of interest, at least where I'm at in Austin, you guys, there it's like fever pitch right now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely picking up. I mean, there's people getting involved now who've never been involved before. I'm getting phone calls from, you know, division heads of corporations and scientists who want to get involved. The nice thing about it is this whole announcement with the Navy and with TTSA and with the whole Pentagon thing is it's making it safe for some of the people who've been on the sidelines, maybe not involved at all, to jump in and start getting involved. And I think that's what we need. We need people who are good thinkers and scientists, engineers, to start working on this because huge breakthroughs are possible. And that's why we do what we do at MUFON, the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of humanity. I mean, the benefit is, hey, if we really take the time to observe what's happening, what these craft are capable of doing in these beings, perhaps we could put some of that technology to work for the betterment of all of us on this planet. I'm very hopeful. I'm excited. I don't think we can put the genie back in the bottle. I think there's a few people trying, but it's not going to go back in.
When you talk about that, of course, that assumes that UFOs are physical spaceships piloted by physical beings.
Yeah, but even if they're not, I mean, there's something here which is transformational in terms of our perception of reality, our whole consciousness, how maybe we build the four walls around us. It's we're going to learn a lot about who we are. I mean, I remember saying that one of our well-known speakers, I'm blanking on his name, but I'll come up with it, said once, he said, you know, the more we try to find out who they are, where they're from, and why they're here, the more likely we are to find out who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. And I thought those words were pretty wise words, and I've thought about them for the last 20 years since I've heard them. I think continuing to study this, whether it's a physical phenomenon or something else, is certainly going to give us a lot better understanding of the universe around us and this whole reality that we live in.
Man, Jen, from my perspective, those are some of the most compelling and wise words that I've heard over the last couple of weeks. That's an absolutely fabulous perspective. I got to tell you guys, when this stuff came out in the Post and the Times a couple of weeks ago, I ran for my copy, The Hunt for Zero by Nick Cook, because the first thing that crossed my mind was we have to vet that this is not an exotic technology first. I mean, that's just the way I work as a scientist. I mean, the most plausible thing here, at least from my mind, is that this is some exotic technology. I went down the wormhole with Cook there on that book. It's been a few times since I read it, and I suggest anybody that wants to get oriented on, you know, where we might have been in the 1950s and 60s in terms of aerospace technology, this is a great primer for you. Now, that being said, there's a lot of arguments right now from the scientific community, specifically folks that are saying, you know, look, Mark, this can't be exotic technology because the flight profile or kinematics of these flights are the same as they were in the 40s and 50s reports. So I guess that perspective is saying that these are the exact same thing in the 40s before we even announced that we had advanced aerospace programs, et cetera. So that's a really interesting perspective in terms of deciding if this is actually nuts and bolts craft here from ET or whether it's our own technology. But I think that's kind of the linchpin or that's at least where I ended up, where I'm finding a gap that I can't close yet.
Yeah. It's kind of a cognitive dissonance or something. You know, it's funny. I first conversation I had with Christopher Mellon was several years ago, two or three years back. And he asked me a question, which I thought was interesting. It was, what do you think these triangles are? And I said to Chris, I said, well, I don't know, Chris. I assume they're ours. And he said back to me, well, they're not. I said, well, then whose are they? He said, well, they're somebody else's. They're not ours. And he had a whole explanation for why they weren't ours. Now, that's from what he knows, right? I mean, what I've come to find out from talking to folks like Lou Elizondo and Stephen Justice and Christopher Mellon, guys who've been deep inside the different parts of the aerospace industry and the Pentagon and the Congress, is that we run a very compartmentalized government. It's very compartmentalized. And it's very possible there's someone doing something somewhere that the other person doesn't know is being done. They both assured me, Lou and Chris, that these craft we're seeing are definitely not ours. And if you looked at the first show, Unidentified, they even brought in an aerospace guy expert to talk about it. There's no flight surfaces. There's no engines. There's no heat signature. There's no nothing. These things are doing extraordinary things and changing shape as they move about. Do we have that technology? I don't think so. The other thing that struck me was I went back in our files and we actually have triangular cases from the 1930s. So these triangles would have had to have been built somewhere back in the 20s or 30s. And I just don't think we had the technology back then to do that.
We'll be back with more with Gene and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. and Mexico have agreed to steps to curtail the influx of Central American migrants into the U.S. Mexico's ambassador to the United States, Martha Barcina.
The United States and Mexico commit to a Mexican enforcement surge Mexico will take unprecedented steps to increase enforcement to curb irregular migration, to include the deployment of its National Guard throughout Mexico, giving priority to its southern border.
Also, both countries have agreed to work to improve economic conditions in Central American nations.
The United States and Mexico will continue their discussions on the terms of additional understandings to address irregular migrant flows and asylum issues.
President Trump tweeted, he's indefinitely suspending his plans to impose tariffs on Mexico. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think we have to get Mark an echo chamber. Jan Harzan is joining us, and we're continuing our discussion of some of the more interesting sightings and configurations. Mark, let's go ahead.
What I think we need to do, you guys, is we got a big audience. We have got to unpack this ATIP thing. I cannot assume that everybody out there is following all the different media outlets that are carrying this, all the different personalities, all the different stuff. It's a mess in there, specifically when the Pentagon spokesperson, the original spokesperson that said, you know, Luis Elizondo was a part of this ATIP program, get fired for, I think the actual thing was just mismanagement or misjudgment or something to that effect. The new spokesperson for the Pentagon then, and I'll pull up his name here in a second, you know, he said that he can't confirm any Miss White, the previous spokesperson for the Pentagon's admissions or confirmation that Luis Elizondo was involved at all. And so I think that's where the first pivot started with John Greenwald, for example, the Black Vault, and some of the other folks that have now put out counter stories, including The Intercept, who is has a very good reputation for whistleblowers and looking behind the scenes and really vetting some of the people that are making these claims, et cetera. So that's where we're at, Jan. We're in a situation where we have conflicting stories from the government. We have Knapp coming out with some Senate documents saying that Luis Elizondo was a part of this ATIP program. It's just confusing. Can you just at least give us your breakdown of what you think happened over the last couple of weeks here?
Yeah, I think what's finally happening is the disinformation machine is starting up. You know, it's probably some pushback here that you're moving too fast. We're going to slow you down. It's pretty simple. You know, we have a senator, Senator Harry Reid, who formed this committee with the help of other senators in Congress. He's actually the one who signed the paperwork to form ATIP. And on that list of individuals, Lou Elizondo names exist. I don't know if they'll be making that publicly available or not, but if you've got a senator with the kind of credentials of Harry Reid and he says it's real, I'd go with him over some spokesperson from the Pentagon. You know, any organization, it's hard to put your hands on all the information. Even at MUFON, we operate in 43 countries and all 50 states. I would be hard pressed to put my fingers on who actually worked in this state at this time at that date. You know, sometimes that information just isn't available to you. So whether it's purposeful or not, I don't know. I would lean more that it's purposeful, that they're trying to slow this thing down and not have it come out quite as fast and furious as it's been coming. I definitely think we'll see some other things shown, cards shown on the table that prove that Lou is who he says he is. I've spent quite a bit of time with Lou. As you know, he was our keynote speaker at our symposium last year. I can't say enough about the guy. He is a straight shooter. He's an American hero. He fought for us in Afghanistan, Special Forces. He ran some different programs, classified programs for the Pentagon, for the Department of Defense. He has told me everything I've ever asked him, he's told me directly. And when he couldn't tell me, he said, look, there's certain things I can't say because it's still classified, but I will tell you that so that I'm not trying to skirt it. He said, I just don't look good in orange.
You know, one thing here also, in our current environment, I think it's difficult to even believe what the government tells us for many reasons that take us into politics. Having contradictory statements is certainly not atypical of them. Of course, one wants to check it out anyway.
You think about it. How many times have they tried to debunk Roswell, right? It's been three times. I think we had the first story was it was a weather balloon. The second story came out, you know, 20, 30 years later that it was a mogul weather balloon, a spy balloon, whatever. And then it comes out, oh, it's a balloon with a dummy that fell out of it, you know. So, yeah, I'm hard-pressed to believe what comes out of some of these pieces. So, anyway, I would just say that I believe Lou, I believe Chris, I believe Stephen Justice, I believe Tom DeLonge. They're getting fed information from somewhere, wherever that is, and they're trying to put that information out into the public domain so that we can move this ball forward. And I think we in the UFO field should be 100% behind them. I mean, good grief. I mean, we've waited for 70 years to get something, and now we're finally getting something, and why do we want to jump all over it? I mean, surely we should ask tough questions. That's true. But let's at least let them come out with the information. I haven't seen anything they put out that would tell me that they're trying to put out disinformation as a group. I see quite the opposite. I see they're trying to push this agenda forward, both within Congress, with the American people, and with themselves, because they're trying to work on the science behind it and the technology to I would assume, build it at some point.
Jan, when Louis Elizondo went on the record in, I think, 2017 with Tucker Carlson, I think he made it on with Tucker one night, but he was talking there. It's a really interesting interview. I encourage folks to go back and YouTube it. You'll find it there or whatever your particular video preference platform is, et cetera. So on there, he says he was disgruntled and very frustrated with the military's inability to properly communicate the existence of UFOs, you know, to the public. He personally felt sort of affronted, if I could paraphrase him correctly, you know, that his efforts within the military weren't being taken seriously, et cetera. And that's why he decided to leave. When you talked to Lewis, did he expand on this conflict or you know, what was frustrating him so much when he was actually working for the program?
He did. In fact, when he was in the military, one time he was on a firefight in Afghanistan and they were pinned down by other enemy forces and running out of ammunition. And as I understand it, they were like minutes away from being overrun and killed. And all of a sudden out of the sky came some helicopters and gunships and landed. And the back door opened on one of them. And General Maddox walked down the ramp and said, come on, boys, get on board. This is my understanding of the story. And basically saved all these soldiers who were literally minutes from dying. Lou was one of those soldiers. And he has great respect for General Maddox, who was Secretary of Defense for a while there. When he worked on this program for ATIP, his commanding officer was General Maddox, and he was trying to get the information that he had up the chain of command. You don't just call the general. You know, if you're down at the bottom of the chain of command, you don't just call the general. You've got to work it up through the different layers. It kept getting stopped, and he couldn't figure out why it was getting stopped. So that frustrated him, and that made him say, you know, this is not right. This is important stuff he needs to know. And so he stepped out, wrote a letter of resignation, and actually it was the first time that General Maddox knew there was anything to this was when he got word that Lou had resigned and got a copy of his letter. So I think Lou is doing it for the right reasons. He believes that this is important. This is information for the American people to know and understand. And he's trying to do what he believes is right in terms of getting it out. Now, he's not talking about classified things. In fact, he was able to either get the three videos declassified, or as I was originally told, they were basically highly sensitive, but they weren't classified. But either way, those videos that when they finally made it to the public were not classified as such. Now, what's currently in the Pentagon's files is classified, and it'll probably take some more work to get some of that done. But they don't see that as their purpose in life, to go create videos for the public. They're trying to get Congress to act on it. They're trying to get things to happen that, frankly, we've been trying to get to happen for 70 years and have gotten nowhere. So I'm cheering for them myself.
Yeah, I am too, Jen. One more question on the follow-up to Lewis's, you know, his position when he was working for the military, et cetera. He's a soldier. He's in Afghanistan. He has a close relationship with Mattis, et cetera. So I don't know this from reading, and I may have just overlooked it, but how is Lewis so impassioned about the UAP phenomena? Has he had an experience himself?
I don't believe he's had an experience. I mean, I can't say that for a fact, but I don't believe he has, because I think I even asked that question. But he's talked to enough pilots and enough folks in the military, because they had direct contact with all these people, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, who were reporting things being seen primarily through the people in jet fighters and things that they were chasing. And so he came to know that these things were real. And based on the fact that he had access to, I think it said was said earlier that, you know, how do we know these aren't ours? Well, Lou had access, super admin access to the black budget system. So I'm not sure what that looks like, but basically he could see in there and see which projects were underway so that he knew what all the classified things that were flying in the sky could compare them against what was being reported by the pilots.
Okay. I don't think the sponsors are involved in any black budgets, but let's hear what they say. More to come. We've got Jan Harzan, Gene Steinberg,
Jan,
Mark Jackson. You're in
the Paranormal Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Man, that was awesome.
That was awesome, Jen. And, you know, we might actually have to keep you on as a special correspondent. You know,
until I get an echo machine, right, Gene?
Well, it's very easy to do that. It's done in post-production.
Yeah. Wait, we can also talk about the symposium if you want. It's okay. We've got a lot of good stuff going on there.
Oh, we should. Absolutely. One of the things, you guys, that came up here recently for me was I had a luncheon with a gentleman that belongs to the SCU, and Hal Putoff's involvement in this, I believe, and confirm this for me, Jan, wasn't Hal's name on that list of people involved in the project via the undersecretary list, or I'm sorry, the list from Reed?
I can neither confirm nor deny it. Yes, he was.
Yeah, so there were, if only we could get Hal to talk, right?
He probably would talk to you if he gave him a call. Hal has been involved with DARPA projects, things for a number of years. He's a good guy. He's been a MUFON member for 25 or more years.
Right.
He was the only scientist or physicist who called me after the article broke that about Ben Rich, and he wanted to know exactly every word that Ben had said to me, and actually called me twice on it. So, you know, I think he's another one who's on our side trying to get this stuff out there and get, and more importantly, you know, make it work so that we can actually have it for our own benefit, which would be terrific.
Wow, that's great information, Jan. That's really cool. Yeah, Hal's definitely at the center of this and so much more, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think the next one for me, Jan, would be something that I've been struggling with today anyway, or the last few days, is what is the point of all this? And so what I wanted to do was try to get rid of a lot of the words being thrown around in an effort to try to distill this thing down in terms of why now, what now, what has motivated these people? Is it really just critical mass and the fact that they couldn't contain the boiling anymore? Or is there an agenda? The way I look at this subject is I want to take the word believe out of this. We can't, there's no belief in this narrative. The second thing, unfortunately, that there's not in this narrative is reason. Because like I, you know, like we have been bouncing back and forth about these flight profiles, the physics of the UAPs do not reason. They do not match up with reason. So we got to throw faith out or belief. We got to throw reason out the window. So for me, when I see the government rolling this stuff out and backing it, the word that comes to mind to me is accept. The government or the military or whatever this slow disclosure is an effort for us to accept the existence of UAPs. Well, by definition, acceptance is something you agree to or consent to. It occurs to me that this is more of a consent issue in terms of the PR factor. So the question then becomes for me is, okay, if the military is coming out and they're saying this is a real thing and they want us to comply or they want our consent, what the hell are we consenting to? What is the trajectory of all of this, if we can even speculate at this point?
Well, I think, you look at all the private space ventures going on today, SpaceX, Virgin Galactic, you've got Blue Horizon, got even got NASA building its own Orion spacecraft. Eventually, in the next 5 years, if you listen to the vice president, we're going to be on the moon again and out amongst the stars. And you've got a huge cadre of people working on faster light travel, and eventually that's going to be a breakthrough. I think within the next 20 to 30 years, we'll have technology to travel to the stars. Just from the people I talk to and the physicists I'm briefing and working with on this thing and are telling me what they know. So I think that we're moving ahead quite crisply on a technological standpoint as a species, as a human race. And I think, at some point it's going to become blatantly obvious that we're not alone. And I think someone believes this now is the time to start telling people, hey, you're not alone.
Jan, let me take you to task on that for a minute. Let me back up because I know there are people in the audience that are going to ask the same question. So earlier in the show, we had kind of agreed that the technology in the 20s, 30s, 40s wasn't capable of anti-gravitics, electrostatic, all this sort of other, the names for anti-gravity technology. But you're saying in 20 years, which is not 70 years, that we're going to have speed of light technology. So let me go back and revisit the original notion here. Is it possible that this is us?
Well, there's always that possibility. I mean, it's always that possibility, but it also could be us and them.
I wrote that down as one of my four options. I took notes and I wrote out four options. It's ET, it's us and ET, or it's all big psyop. That's it.
Yeah, or we're living in a simulated reality, something else, who knows. But, yeah, so why have they kept it secret for all these years? Why have they not wanted to let the cat out of the bag? Why have they not wanted to admit that the UAPs or UFOs are real? Very simply, it's national security. I mean, that's flat out it. I mean, the technology that these craft are using to get here is based on Einstein's general theory of relativity. And it's the manipulation of space and time. Just like we figured out in 30s and 40s how to manipulate energy and matter, our universe is made up of STEM, space, time, energy, and matter. So we know E equals MC squared, but also there's some equations that'll work, let us work between space and time. And these beings, whoever they are, these intelligences, have figured out how to manipulate that, and they can actually rip and cross words to me. They can rip small holes in space-time and travel from wherever they are to us pretty much instantaneously. So, that's the technology. We now know the equations. That's what Ben Rich said to me back in 93, which is there's an error in the equations, and we now know how to take ET home. Well, now our scientists in the white world have figured out what the equations are and how to do it. So they see it mathematically, theoretically. But getting it from there to operational is a huge jump, and it's not a cheap jump either. So has someone done that already in the black world? Perhaps they have. But we're going to have to reinvent it in the white world, because my understanding of how black ops works or black world works, once a project is completed, they destroy all evidence of it and keep two final copies, and they go in separate vaults, and those vaults never get opened. So there's no transfer of technology out of a black world. It's got to be reinvented in the white world. And I think that's kind of what TTSA may be trying to do. That's just my guess.
Oh, that is a very interesting insight.
Yeah. I hope it's true.
Yeah, I hope it's true too, Jan. That's the thing.
Yeah. Hmm. So, we are going to see advances. I mean, the 20 to 30 years is my guess. But I had lunch with James Woodward recently, and he's a professor out of Cal State Fullerton, and he works an email list, if you will, of all the top theoretical physicists who are working on this faster light issue. And he's been kind enough to put me on copy. So I see these guys fight with each other. Reminds me about being at MUFON, you know? We all fight with each other. So, but, you know, they are all saying, and he's specifically saying, I asked him, I said, Jim, so how long do you think it's going to be until we have this? And I threw out the 20 to 30 years. He said, maybe not even that long. So these guys are feel that they're getting
Jan,
close.
Wow. Wow, Jan. You kidding? All right, you guys. So
yeah.
What we have on the horizon is faster than light travel. And by the way, for the audience that aren't, you know, that don't follow scientific journals, et cetera, there's trajectories that can get found online now about faster than light travel, which obviously violates what Einstein was saying. But we now understand that his equation is actually rudimentary, as you're mentioning, Jan, compared to some of these other things. One of the things I want to say to the listeners, if they want to go down the rabbit hole of something that's called block time, this is a very current theory in physics, where it better describes, Jan, what you're saying, the relationship between time, space, and matter. And so if that's really what we're working into here in terms of finding the corrections to the equation to access that level of physics, there are published papers on block time that people can reference that basically sets the ground rules to make what you're talking about possible.
Yes. Well, you know, and that goes back to the national security implications of this and why it's been kept secret for so long. I mean, if your adversary has the capability to deliver a nuclear weapon to the doorstep of the White House instantaneously with no one knowing it's coming and it just shows up and blows up, I mean, that's a scary thought. So there's been a lot of effort put into keeping the secret, probably even including, you know, a few people losing their lives over it. For whatever reason, as we talked earlier, that it appears that the cat's out of the bag and we're moving forward. So we'll just hope it keeps going well.
By the way, I want to inform you listeners that this weekend, of course, we'll be hearing from William Puckett on After the Paracast, but we'll also be talking to the one, the only Red Pill Junkie. That's on After the Paracast, available with the Paracast Plus. Guys, more to come with Jan Harzen of MUFON. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Mark Jackson. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.